Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello once again. You reach Holy Ghost Radio Show. I am your host, Tiana Copeland, and I'm excited on tonight. We have a special guest that's on this radio show, and I'm just really excited. I've been kind of waiting on this for the last couple of weeks. His name is Apostle Fidel Donaldson. He's an apostle he has a real apostolic anointing. He was born in Jamaica, but now he lives in Jacksonville, Florida, which is my hometown. I'm excited about that. He's been married for over 24 years to Paulette Donaldson. He has 3 children. He is the founder of Fidel Donaldson Worldwide Ministries, Appeal Ministries, and The Gathering of the Eagles. He is the author of 5 books, one called Midnight, From the Pit to the Prison to the Palace, Don't Birth an Ishmael in a Waiting Room, Mercy and the Sufficient Grace, Perceive and Receive. His website is FidelDonaldson.org. He's a powerful, powerful, powerful man of God. He's very anointed, and I'm excited on tonight. I want you guys to help me welcome him on tonight. How are you, man of God?
Well, bless the Lord, woman of God. It's certainly an honor and a privilege to be with you on this Holy Ghost radio show. I want to encourage all the listeners tonight, all the prophetic eagles who are listening tonight, to get pen, paper, recording device, because there is a rhema from the Lord tonight that is going to transform the lives of the people of God tonight. We're calling on the eagles tonight to get their spiritual ears and their antennas up, because chickens don't fly, but eagles soar. And
yes,
we want all lizards, all crows, all chickens, and all vultures to be aware and to clear the runway, because the eagles are about to soar. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I want to let you guys know that if you miss any of this call, you can always go back and to the link, and you can listen to it. It stays in the archives at all times. He will be taking live calls, so if you want prayer, comments, questions, when you call in, you have to press 1. And I'm going to make that announcement again in the middle of the show, so everyone would know if they need questions or anything, you have to press 1. But you can go ahead, man of God, and take us on in.
Yes, glory to God, and we certainly thank God for our gracious host, an anointed woman of God from here in Jacksonville, Florida, minister and prophetess Tiana Copeland. And once again, we certainly celebrate each and every one of you who have taken the time out of your busy schedule to tune into this broadcast tonight. Those that are tuning in from the east, the west, the north, and the south, the continental United States of America, and the nations. The word of the Lord came to me, glory to God, concerning the subject, the prophetic in you. And I want to minister tonight concerning the prophetic voice that's on the inside of each and every one of God's children. Glory to God. I know normally we wait for somebody to prophesy to us, but what God wants me to let his people know tonight is this. God wants to prophesy through you, not just to wait for somebody to prophesy to you, but God wants to get you to a place prophetically where you can hear the voice of his Spirit that he may minister to you. And the word of the Lord came to me from Revelation chapter 19. That's what we're going to exegete tonight along with other scriptures, but that will be the crux of our message. Revelation chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Actually, before I get to 19, John, let me give you a setup. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and according to Revelation chapter 1, he says, I, John, speaking to the believers who also am your brother and companion, not in palaces, glory to God, not in the flesh, but in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Now he says, I was in the isle that is called Patmos. Patmos means my killing. In other words, We have to die daily so the prophetic, the glory, can manifest in us. So John is saying, I'm in the isle called Patmos, not because I've sinned, not because I've diverted from the things of God, but I'm there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Beloved, you have to understand one thing. Jesus says, when, not if, persecution and affliction arises, it arises for the word's sake. Glory to God. And you can always tell the level of persecution and affliction that you will have to endure by the level of revelation that God has called you to work in. If you are a kingdom citizen, then you can expect to be buffeted and to try. So John is on the Isle of Patmos, glory to God. And by the time we get to Revelation chapter 19, beginning at 1, the Bible says that, and after these things, John says, I heard a voice. Now watch this. I need you to flow with me now. John hears a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, which is the highest praise, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Now, why is it important that you get the crux of this from the very beginning? Because my thesis is that worship facilitates and activates the prophetic in you. In other words, when God's people come together, it's not a time to spectate or to meditate, but it's a time for us to get on one accord and send the type of worship that will open the heavens, and a prophetic voice will begin to speak not only from heaven, but through the believer. Now watch this. So a great voice of much people in heaven is giving God the halal praise. They're singing of his salvation, of his glory, and his honor. And they go on to say in 19 and 2, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which is Babylon, the false religious system, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Glory to God. Fornication is not just someone having sex outside of the confines of marriage. Anytime we leave the dictates of the true and living God and the dictates that he laid down for us through Jesus Christ, through the apostles and the prophets, we commit fornication. And he says, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Watch this, beloved. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke, glory to God, rose up forever and ever. Smoke, a type of that glory, that same glory that Isaiah saw in chapter 6 when Uzziah died, and he was caught in that third dimension now where he said the throne was full of smoke. By the time we get down to Revelation 19 and 4, the Bible declares that the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Alleluia. Now, I want you to see how many times they're ascribing the highest praise unto God. Notice one thing now. The 24 elders are individuals who have reached the epitome, glory to God, of anybody's walk in Christ. They're before the throne room of God. They have their crowns now, glory to God, with all their jewels and sapphire and all their diamonds and rubies in there. But before the Lamb that's seated on the throne, now they cast it down. Now watch this now. You go into some churches and gatherings and individuals who say they have the Spirit of God sit around like a bump on a log or a frog on a log, right? But here are the 24 elders who are at a place where we're trying to get to. And what is their posture and their position? It is one of worship. It is one of hallelujah. It is one of giving the Lamb that is seated on the throne the highest praise. Watch this now. Watch what happens now after they begin to fall down and worship him. It says a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. So no matter what our posture and our position is, whether it be small or great, we were created to bring worship. That word, W-O-R-T-H, worth, and S-H-I-P, it means what type of value and premium do I put on God in my relationship with him? And the value that I put on him will dictate and determine the level and the fervor of my worship. So what begins to happen is, beloved, don't miss this, when they're willing to humble themselves, when they're willing to come beyond the borders of their flesh, when they're willing to die to pride, when they're not allowing religious folks to intimidate them from worshiping. You know how it is when we begin to praise God vociferously. You got those that have the spirit of Michal in them that try to bind us and tell us it don't take all that. But remember blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, who sat on the outskirts of Jericho. Jericho means a fragrant place. He's sitting in a wretched condition as a beggar, and he hears that Jesus is passing by. And what does he begin to do? Stand there quietly meditating? No, he begins to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the religious folks try to shut him up, but the more they try to shut him up is the louder he cries. You see, you can't allow religious folks to tame your praise and to tame your worship. So worship facilitated a voice which came from the throne. You see, we don't want to hear man's voice when we're worshiping. We want the voice that's going to emanate from the throne. Glory to God. And what does the voice tell them to do? The voice tells them, praise our God. As you see here, there is a theme being played out here. Radical, consistent worship is facilitating a voice from heaven. And what is the voice from heaven saying? Praise our God, all ye his servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. You see, you can't be a spectator or a meditator in heaven. If I may say this, there was an individual in the scriptures who was invited to a wedding feast. And the head of the feast found out that he did not have the proper garments on. So they bowed, and he came to him and called him friend and said, how did you get in here without the proper garment? They bound him hand and foot, and they cast him into outer darkness. Well, I've come to tell you that the garment is the garment of praise, beloved, because he gives the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So the voice comes out of the throne room, evoking them and invoking a praise response. And John says, now I heard a voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Count how many times you hear the word hallelujah. It comes from the word halal, which means a bright, shining celebration. It means to act clamorously foolish. It means to stultify. It means to act as if you're stark, raving mad. It speaks of a radical worship that routs the principalities and the powers and the demonic influences in the atmosphere, the troposphere, and the stratosphere, which facilitates now the prophetic voice beginning to speak. Now watch this now. The voice says, now let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And John now is caught up in the midst of this euphoric scene in heaven where there's unbridled worship. And what does John look to do? John sees this being before him, and of course he recognizes this being as an angelic being. And verse 10 of Revelation 19 says, and I fell at his feet to do what? To worship. Because they understood in the Bible the principle of worshiping. Look in the scriptures at everybody that came to Jesus for a healing, and you'll see the majority of them came and fell down and began to worship. And he said unto John, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Listen to this now. This being is telling John, don't worship me. I'm your fellow servant and of thy brethren. Watch this now. That have the testimony of Jesus. Number one, the testimony of Jesus. Then he tells John, worship God.
Mm-hmm.
For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Is somebody hearing me tonight?
Yes.
Number one, we need to understand this. Prophecy is a spirit. It comes from the spirit. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. How is that spirit activated? It's activated when we worship God.
Mm-hmm.
Two key words I want to highlight in Revelation 19:10. Worship and prophecy. Because tonight, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, you're going to get apostolic and prophetic revelation concerning worship and concerning prophecy that's going to let you know that there's a voice on the inside of you. Once you're born again and filled with the Spirit of God, there's a voice on the inside of you. That voice is going to facilitate a prophetic voice in you that you're not going to have to wait for the prophet, the P-R-O-F-I-T, so-called, to come with a familiar spirit to try to loose your money from you. No, you're going to be able now to worship God in the midst of your seasons of trial, and you're going to be discerning now for when God wants to speak prophetically through you. So, beloved, I want to iterate now that there is a prophetic in you, and the prophetic is activated by worship because the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now, watch this. God desires the prophetic explosion to start in us. But how many of you know that expectations can be dangerous, so there has to, explosions can be dangerous, so there has to be preparation. We're always waiting for someone with a, you know, with a big name and a big title, a lot of us, to come when we hear that Prophet so-and-so is in town. So we move this and that out of the way, and we come because Prophet so-and-so. Well, I come to tell you, you are Prophet so-and-so. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you, and you got to activate that voice through worship and begin to prophesy over your family, prophesy over your ministry, prophesy over your community. Glory to God. Prophesy over the nation. Now, hear this foundational principle now. Under the Old Testament paradigm, God raised the prophets from all walks of life to call his people to a place of repentance and holiness and to pronounce judgment on idolatrous nations. John the Baptist was the last of them, the last of that Old Testament type of prophet, and that is why you hear him calling religious people brood of vipers or castigating Herod for living with his brother's wife. Because in between Malachi and Matthew is what's called the intertestamental period. What it simply means, beloved, is this. There would be 400 years, glory to God, before the voice of God would be heard again. Now, if God's not going to speak for 400 years, don't you think it behooves us to know what the last thing he said was? Well, how come 99% of the time when you hear people open up the book of Malachi, it's from Malachi 3:10, telling people in church that they're cursed with a curse?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? No, Malachi is about a priesthood who had gone astray, who had moved away from the things of God. Malachi, in that last chapter, begins to deal with returning the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children back to the father. Why don't we ever hear people open up Malachi and begin to teach people what the book is really all about? Really all about the heart of God, Father God trying to get his children back into a right relationship with him. So God now brought John the Baptist as a forerunner now that came in the spirit of the great prophet Elijah now to make the way straight now and to prepare the way now for he who would come now that would cause us to be filled with the spirit now that we would be able to discern that prophetic voice. So when Jesus' ministry began, so began a paradigm shift in the prophetic. Somebody hear me now.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the Spirit of God would come upon certain individuals at certain times for a specific function. When the ministry of Jesus began now, it represented not just him coming to die for us to go to heaven. Of course, we understand that. But there was also a paradigm shift in the prophetic. How do I know? I'm giving you scriptures because I know people will come and they will try to challenge. but the word of God. Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So now everything that's coming prophetically now is coming through the Son. 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 20. Peter writes now, knowing this first, this is paramount, this takes precedent, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. We cannot afford to sit on the people who are prophesying out of their will, out of their emotion, and out of their intellect. I don't care how much they tell us how blessed we're going to be and how they tickle our fancy with stuff that we want to hear. Peter said, prophecy, knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, watch this now, but holy men of God, watch the precursor now, holy men of God. What are the angels and the elders before the throne saying? They're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. What did the Shunammite woman say to her husband concerning Elisha as he passed their house continually? Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God. Nowadays, if you don't call people by their titles, apostle, prophet, doctor, bishop, right reverend, they get offended. But I tell you, beloved, we ought to try to live up to two titles. One is called servant, and the other is holy man or woman of God.
Amen.
A bunch of prophets got to get together, so you always got to have somebody that want to usurp authority. So that one now is called the master prophet. But if you the master, where does it leave room for Jesus?
Jesus.
Group of bishops got together, but you always got to have some, even though Jesus took a child and set him in the midst of them, and said, listen, if anyone of you want to be great, he must first learn to be a servant. For the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give himself a ransom. Doulos in the Greek, which means slave. So now you have to have the archbishop. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to have the master prophet. But he's saying the prophecy did not come by the will of man, but the holy man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Watch this now. But there were false prophets also among the people. Because if prophecy is not Christ-centered, if prophecy does not flow from the Spirit, if prophecy does not emanate out of the place of worship, glory to God, and emanate from the throne of God, then it's not coming and it's not from the will of God. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Remember the governor Nehemiah when he was called to do a great work in terms of building the wall of Jerusalem, when the spirit of Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arabian came against him. But what happened? They also hired a prophetess called Noadiah, who sold out her prophetic gift for filthy lucre, glory to God, to come against Nehemiah because they had paid her. But because the man of God had discernment, he recognized that God didn't send them. Watch this now, beloved. In Ezekiel 13 and 2, the Bible says, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy of their own hearts. Hear me the word of the Lord. Now, the heart is akin to what the soul is. It's akin to the center, the intellect, the will, and the emotion. So in Ezekiel, when God is accusing them of prophesying out of their heart, it's the same terminology Peter used. Glory to God. I feel the unction to teach. I feel the Holy Ghost minister Tiana.
Yeah.
For the prophecy Peter said didn't come by the will of man. So when Ezekiel is spoken to by God, to prophesy now against those individuals that are prophesying out of their hearts. He's saying out of their will. And he tells them to hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. So a man can prophesy out of his own will, his intellect, his emotion, and he can also prophesy from his spirit. But we need prophecy to come from the Spirit of God, from the testimony of Christ. And that spirit is on the inside of each and every person under the sound of my voice who is born again and filled with that said spirit. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have not seen anything. Mm-mm-mm. We, beloved, must get the spirit of Balaam out of the church.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to say that again. Balaam was a true prophet of God, but hired out his gift to Balak, glory to God, to try to curse the Israelites when they were coming out of Egypt.
Yes.
He had gone so far and deviated so far from hearing the voice of God that God had to send a jackass to speak to him. Now, I hear faith saying sometimes, God, if you can use anything, use me. God used a jackass so he can use me. Listen, you don't want God to use you because he can use anything. You want God to use you because you're sold out to the things of God and you're hearing the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. You see, the indictment on Balaam was because he could not hear the word of the Lord anymore. So God, using a donkey who's considered one of the stubbornest animals on the face of the planet, God was trying to show him by using a talking ass to show him how far he had strayed from the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of Balaam now, glory to God, where individuals come, glory to God, with a familiar spirit, and tell us something familiar, and you want to know, you can tell how they come, because they always tie the prophecy to get you to a place where they can get the biggest offering out of you.
Wow.
God understands that the laborer is worthy of his hire, but you can tell the familiar spirits now, and a lot of them will line up people, and this is how you know it ain't God. They will line up people, and the individuals that can give the biggest amount, the $1,000 and the $500, will get a prophetic word. But the individuals that don't have the prescribed amount now, they don't get prophesied to. But how come Jesus highlighted not the rich person that gave when he stood over above the treasury, but he highlighted the widow that gave the two mites?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Huh? Why is it the prophecy now is going to be given to the one now that can sow the biggest seed?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And how come all of a sudden God has told you that there are 10 or 15 people in the service that can give up $500 each? God didn't tell you that. The Lord's averages dictate that if there's a certain amount of people in the congregation, then a percentage of them is going to be able to give. How come the Spirit of God didn't tell you that there's a widow sitting over there in the corner that's about to get her lights turned off?
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
How come he didn't tell you that there's a widow, that there's an orphan that's being molested? How come he didn't tell you that there's a single mother that can't put food on her children's table? You want to know why? Because their ears have been dulled to the true prophetic voice. Because they've built ostentatious and opulent lifestyles, and they need to generate money, glory to God, to keep themselves afloat. So now what they do, a lot of them, they come forth now with this familiar spirit, glory to God, to hoodwink and to seduce believers who are desperate, believers who don't understand that there is a prophetic voice in them. Glory to God. God has set a purpose for prophecy in the New Testament. Remember, when Jesus came on the scene, he established the church of the living God. He established it with a fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. I'm going to touch on that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But Paul gave the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 12. Now, Paul actually gave the Corinthian church this word concerning three components. I want you to hear this. Three components to New Testament prophecy. Why the number three? Because a threefold God gave a threefold man a threefold salvation. Threefold God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Threefold man, spirit, soul, body. Threefold salvation, glorification, justification, sanctification. There's a third dimension where God dwells, where he makes his abode. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the first heaven. God makes his abode in the third heaven, where the glory of God is. That's why in 2 Corinthians 12:2-5, Paul said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in or out of the body, I cannot tell. 14, the number of Passover, passing over from not only death to life, but passing from earthly realms and dimension into the third dimension. I knew a man about 14 years, whether in or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven, that third dimension. And I knew such a man, whether in or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one, Paul says, will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Beloved, three components to New Testament prophecy. Hear this. The apostle writes, but he that prophesied in 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he that prophesied speaketh unto men, because God doesn't need prophecy. Mm-hmm. The prophet is speaking unto men to edification. Number one, write that word down. Edification is first, mm-hmm. exhortation, and comfort. The threefold component of New Testament prophecy: edification, exhortation, and comfort. There is more to prophecy, beloved, than someone calling us out in the midst of the service and telling us about some material blessing God will give us. Mm-hmm. That gives us a temporary burst of euphoria, but we will become deflated as time passes and the blessing does not manifest because it didn't come from God. That's why many of us, as truth be told, we went to services and we sold money. We, in all earnestness, we got these prophecies, and years and years and years and years and years later, it has not, they have not come to pass.
Yes, Lord.
If you can't say amen, say oh me.
Yes, Lord.
Number one word, the first word Paul uses, beloved, is this: edification for New Testament prophecy. That word in the Greek comes from a base word which means architecture. It means a structure. It means confirmation. It means building or edification. It comes from a Greek word oikos, which means a dwelling, temple, or home. So Paul is saying, he that prophesied, prophesied unto men to what? Edification. To build them up as a structure, an architectural structure, along with the apostle, along with the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, to build them up as a dwelling place and a temple of God. The prophet, beloved, is not just supposed to come to tell us what we want to hear. The prophet is supposed to speak words that's going to edify us, that's going to build us up, that's going to teach us now to discern the voice of God and to tap into the spirit and that prophetic voice that's on the inside of us. But these wolves that are masquerading in sheep's clothing, they want to keep people dependent on them. That's what they, so they give you a little bit to sweeten your appetite so you can keep coming back and coming back. But the true prophet is supposed to get you to a place of maturity where you learn to discern the voice of God and are able to prophesy over your sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from another, it's a compound word. Oikos is the one that dwells at temple or home, and the other one is doma, where we get the word domicile, from demo, demolition, which means to build an edifice. God had to come in now, and he had to demolish the mindset that we picked up in the world, the junk out of our trunk, the stinking thinking. Now he has to demolish all of that now, and he has to build an edifice of the spirit in us, and it also means a rooftop. The prophet, I want to reiterate, along with the other fivefold ministry gift, is given to the New Testament church as a construction worker to aid in the building of you, the believer, as an edifice where the Spirit of the Lord can dwell. So the prophet, along with the five old ministers, are nothing but construction workers. I remember watching my television set one day, and there was an individual, one of these so-called master prophets, and a woman with a clergy collar was giving a testimony that she had a real estate deal that had gone south. And the man of God evidently must have prayed for her, and the situation seemed to go in her favor somehow. And I heard with my own ear the woman say, when the breakthrough came, I didn't say, thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Master Prophet.
What?
Wow. Out of my own ear, I shut the television off because I realized the sign of the time that we're living in now. She said, I did not say, thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Master Prophet. A precious, precious woman of God, good friend and sister in the Lord, a true prophetess, friend of mine, called me because she's dealing with a marital situation that's detrimental. Her and her husband, faithful sowers into a ministry, a prophetic ministry, faithful, faithful, faithful. Situation occurred and she called their line to receive prayer. And the individual on the line told her that before they can speak a word to her, she has to sow $1,000 seed.
Wow.
Somebody show me in the Bible when Naaman came to Elisha, glory to God, full of leprosy, came with all that wealth, when Elisha told him, before I can say anything to you, you got to sow $1,000 seed or 1,000 shekel seed. Show me in the scripture one individual that came to the true master prophet and Lord Jesus Christ for something to alleviate their trial where he said, you got to sow a certain amount of money before you get a prophetic word. Show me the chapter and the verse when somebody came to Elijah and Elijah said, before I prophesy to you. When the widow came to Elisha, glory to God, when the creditors were banging on the door, when she was desperate, when they were come to take her sons away because his servant, her husband, who served faithfully, had died, and the creditors were banging. Elisha didn't say, listen, you got to sow a seed. He says, what will thou have me to do for you? What is in your house? As a matter of fact, when wicked Gehazi went behind his back, when Elisha told Naaman the prophet, this is not a time for an offering. When Gehazi, his servant, went behind Elisha's back and took an offering, the prophet said, did you not know that my spirit went with you? And from henceforth, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto you.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet is a construction worker, along with the apostle.
Yes.
Don't you notice something peculiar in the body of Christ? You don't hear anybody call themselves evangelist or missionary anymore or teacher.
No.
Because those titles aren't sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's an apostle now, a doctor, a bishop, a master prophet, an archbishop. Because they figure now with those particular titles now, the people are going to look up to them. The spirit of the Laodicean church is at work.
Oh, Jesus.
Mm-mm. The Laodicean church that Jesus talked about in Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, my bad, the Nicolaitan church. Laity means the people, and Nico means Lord or rulership. So now what's happening is people now have taken titles upon themselves now, some of them sitting in large chairs barking out orders to their underling. I was in one service one day, and this individual came in with this, I guess it's a shepherd's staff, that fish hat that the Pope of Rome wore, and all this regalia into the service, which is nothing but a Babylonian system.
Ooh, Jesus.
And then this so-called chief apostle comes in now, sits in the pulpit, and somebody takes his shoes off and starts to fan him.
Ooh, Lord, apostle, you preaching.
In the service. And I'm trying to tell the people of God that there are true men and women of God out here that are crying, voices in the wilderness that are crying against this perversion, this
yes.
spirit of Babylon, and this spirit of Hollywood that's crept up in the church.
Mm-mm.
And beloved, do not make celebrities out of preachers.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus was a foot washer. And can the servant be greater than his master? When was the last time you saw the master prophet or the chief apostle washing feet? When did you see the archbishop washing feet? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So in Ephesians 4 and 11, as Jesus now is establishing these offices now to build up his church, the Bible says he gave some apostles, and let me give somebody a revelation right now. Apostle comes from the same root word as missionary. Somebody's not an apostle just because they get some building and have 10 people in there and 8 of them are family members.
Jesus.
Because if that made you an apostle, then every pastor would be an apostle. The word apostle comes from the same root as missionary. That's why it says Paul's missionary journey. But people don't want to call themselves missionary because it's not sexy. Apostolon means to be sent.
Yes.
When Jesus first called them, glory to God, the Bible says he went into all-night prayer. And when he came out of all-night prayer, he called his disciples unto him. Notice, he called the disciples, disciplined ones, those who are dedicated, those who are committed. And out of the disciples now, he chose 12 and he surnamed them apostles. What was their mandate? It was evangelistic because none of them had planted any church at that point.
That's right.
So if you have to plant a church to become an apostle, how come he surnamed them apostles before they planted a church?
That's right.
You're not an apostle because you got a building with a few family members in it. No, you plant the church because you're the apostle, not vice versa. So he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. I want to know where master prophet is in there, or chief apostle. Why did he give them? He gave them for the perfecting of the saints. Watch this. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. There goes that word edifying. The same word that Paul used to the Corinthian church, that New Testament prophecy, he that prophesied unto men to edification first. Now here Paul is saying that the workings now out of the fivefold ministry is to perfect the saints, to bring them to a place of maturity. But it's unfortunate a lot of people are sitting in churches where they're not being perfected. Apostle Eileen Chapman says, gift wrap in the pews. Come on in here, the great wonder priest, give your tithe and your offering and go home. Well, Jesus discipled them for 3.5 years and sent them out and said, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither. How come you got to sit around for 8, 10, 15, 20 years before, and then they still don't want to send you out?
Yes.
And what it does is it breeds frustration in individuals because they have giftings on the inside of them, and they now leave out, and then now these same people now begin to call them renegades and runners. Well, how come there was no renegade and a runner when they came to your church? How come they heard from God when they came from your church, when they came to your church? But now you got them sitting for so long, now they're frustrated because they know they got something on you. The true apostolic and prophetic ministry prepares the people for their divine assignment.
Yes.
And many individuals in the body of Christ have become frustrated and disillusioned. And many have died and not come in to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ.
That's right. That's right.
Edifying. To build a structure and an edifice. Why? Till we all come into the unity of the faith. The prophetic voice is supposed to bring unity and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fivefold ministry, and we're highlighting the prophetic gift right now. I'm going to go into the importance of worship, because it's a twofold component. But I want to exegete first the importance of understanding the prophetic. Unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God, perfect man, meaning a man of maturity, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Watch this. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Watch this, beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. In the book of Numbers, I want to give you I'm going to tie Old Testament and New Testament. Numbers 11, beginning at 25, if you're writing or recording.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, because God has given Moses instructions. Moses, I believe, had gotten a word from Jethro, I believe. And the Bible says now, and the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto Moses, a cloud of glory. Watch this now. And took of the spirit that was upon him. What type of spirit was on Moses? Not just the spirit of meekness, but the spirit to prophesy. Because when Miriam and Aaron came against Moses because of his marriage to the Ethiopian woman, and Miriam was struck with leprosy and the camp was held up, and Moses goes before God to intercede for Miriam now. God speaks to them and tells them, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, speak to that individual in dark sayings, not so my servant Moses, with whom I speak face to face. Face to face communion. God is trying to get us to the fullness of Christ where he can have face to face communion with us.
Mm-hmm.
Moses now had the spirit taken from him, the spirit that was upon him, the spirit of God. And it is given unto the 70 elders. Minister Tiana,
mm-hmm.
those listening on the line, don't miss. This is so important. Moses, the meekest man on the face of the earth at the time, the man who God, the first man that God demonstrated miracles to, Jethro, his father-in-law, tells Moses to establish his council of 70 elders to help him to deal with the issues of the people. God now takes the spirit that was up on him, that was up on Moses. Glory to God. Because Moses' spirit now was tempered by the spirit of God. Because if there are pastors, prophets, apostles listening on the line tonight, I need you to hear this. You can't have individuals in your church who are elders and in position who do not have the spirit that God has placed on the inside of you. They can't be operating out of their spirit and their will. Watch the scripture, Revelation, Numbers 11, beginning at 25. He takes the spirit that's in Moses now, and he puts that spirit in the 70 elders. Watch this, beloved. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Because the Spirit of God is the facilitator of prophecy, not the spirit or the will of man. Watch this now. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. Watch the thesis that I'm establishing now in the prophetic. That the true prophecy comes through the Spirit of God. So we see the Spirit taken from Moses now, put on the elders, and they begin to prophesy profusely now without ceasing. Eldad and Medad now are in the camp. They're not even in the congregation at the time. Glory to God. But the Spirit is resting upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And they ran a young man and told Moses. Young doesn't mean all the time chronologically young, but young can also speak of immaturity,
mm-hmm.
the inability to discern. The young man runs now to tell Moses because somehow he figures now this is going to detract from Moses. And said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men answered and said, my Lord Moses forbid them. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know what Moses says unto them? Moses said, you know, in other words, don't be uncomfortable for my sake. I wish that all God's people would prophesy.
Yes.
Look at it in the book of Numbers. The day of the one-man show is over.
Yes.
At Antioch, where they were first called Christians, the Bible says, as they ministered before the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. The Bible says in the book of Acts, there were certain teachers and prophets like Saul, Barnabas, and Manaen that had been brought up in the house of Herod. Why? Because it was team ministry. Peter standing up with the 11. Beloved, in church services, when the spirit of prophecy began to go forth, the worship begins to go forth and it reaches a crescendo, the spirit of prophecy is supposed to rest upon individuals in the congregation and they're supposed to come forth with it. But you got to give a note to the leader and the leader got to look at it and decide whether it's prophecy or not.
You're talking right. Mm-mm.
No. Moses says, I wish all God's people would prophesy, of course, in order and decency. But watch this now. That some of the pastors and leaders get so intimidated by the prophetic gift that they shut it down.
Yes.
They don't allow it to come forth because they want to maintain control. Because man wants to be in control. So you're never supposed to have a time when you have spirit-inspired worship that does not facilitate a prophetic voice.
Mm-hmm.
By way of a quick testimony, I had a situation where I needed $500 for something particular.
Mm-hmm.
A specific amount I needed for a specific thing. I didn't call nobody. I didn't try to borrow nothing. I went into my prayer room. I put on some worship music, and I just began to sit, and I began to saturate the atmosphere with worship. I just began to worship and worship and worship.
Mm-hmm.
My wife stepped in the house and came into the room and had some mail in her hand. Beloved, I kid you not. I turned around emphatically and I said to her, is there a check in the mail for me? And she handed me two envelopes. And in one of the envelopes was a check for $500. The specific amount of money that I needed, I just began to worship God, worship Him. Out of the place of worship, you will begin to prophesy. You will begin to call forth things out of the realm of the spirit to manifest into the natural. Glory to God. But what I want you to understand tonight, beloved, is that before we start to take some questions or before we begin to pray or prophesy as Spirit gives us unction. Now that we have laid a foundation, Prophetess Diana, and those listening, concerning the true prophetic and how the prophetic comes through the Spirit, through the testimony of Christ, the key component to activating and facilitating the prophetic voice is worship.
Mm-hmm.
Worship facilitates the prophetic. Remember what John was told as recorded in Revelation 19:10. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Whenever you want the spirit of prophecy to begin to manifest, begin to worship God in the beauty of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
1 Samuel 10, beginning at verse 5. This is an example how worship facilitates the prophetic. We know the story of Saul. Saul, glory to God, was an individual that God was about to raise up to be king when the people had got tired of the lasciviousness of Samuel's sons and demanded the king to rule over them like the people.
Mm-hmm.
So God now decided to give them a leader after their heart. So Saul now thinks he's leaving home to look for his father's donkey, the asses. It's the only place in Scripture where you will see an individual leave home looking for asses and come back a king.
Mm-hmm.
He goes now and he finds out that there is a seer that is going to be in town, and he finds the location and the direction of the seer. And when he encounters the seer now, Samuel sends him up to a high place and sits him in the chiefest spot in the place and takes a shoulder, represents the strength, the portion of meat, and feeds him and ministers to him. And now they're coming down from the high place. Samuel, who walked in a threefold anointing. Remember, three, the number of resurrection and increase. He walked in prophet, priest, and judge. Glory to God. David anointed three times, first in his father Jesse's house, then at Hebron over Judah, and then over all Israel. Glory to God. In the third year, God sent the prophet Elijah unto Ahab to tell him that there would be rain. So now they're coming down from the high place in 1 Samuel 10, 5-7, and Samuel begins to give Saul explicit instructions about what will befall him or what he will encounter as he comes from the high place. Because when you're at the high place, you will get instructions on how you are to operate. Now, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10, beginning at verse 5, Samuel says to Saul, after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. Why is the garrison of the Philistines near the hill of God? Because the spirit of the Philistine, that spirit of flesh, is always trying now, glory to God, to hinder and to impede the things of God. Samuel tells him, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets. I need somebody to hear that now. Not just the lone individual operating, glory to God, by his or herself. No. When thou hast come down from the high place, Samuel tells him, glory to God, thou shalt meet a company, plural, of prophets, with an S, coming down from the high place. Prophets don't hang out in the low place spiritually. Prophets ascend to the hill of God through worship, through dedication, glory to God, through self-denial, through the death of the flesh. They ascend to this high place, and they're coming down now, glory to God, from the high place, and watch what is with them, Providence Diana, and those that so graciously has decided to tune in to this Holy Ghost radio broadcast. Don't miss this, because now we're on the segment of the lesson, the teaching that deals with the importance of worship in the prophetic. They're coming down, these prophets now, from the high place, and what is before them? The Bible says a psaltery, one, a tabret, two, a pipe, three, a harp, four, is before them. So before them is musical instruments, instruments of praise, instruments of worship. And Samuel told Saul that you will see this company, worship will be before them, and they shall prophesy.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this now. Tie in the spirit, because it can't happen unless the spirit of God is there. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, speaking of Saul, and thou shalt prophesy with them and shall be turned into another man. Beloved, when you come in the company of the prophets and there's a place of worship, the spirit of prophecy that came upon the elders, that was upon Edad and Medad, it's supposed to trigger that spirit that's on the inside of you and cause you to prophesy.
Yeah.
Not cause you to be dependent on the great prophet, but it's supposed to activate, glory to God. It's supposed to stir up the prophetic voice in you so that you can go now into your sphere of influence and begin to prophesy the word of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 3. Beginning at verse 5, the Bible says, I'll give you a chance to find it, 2 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, how worship facilitates the prophetic in you. We saw 1 Samuel 10 beginning at 5 with Saul in the company of the prophets coming down from the high place. 2 Kings chapter 3 beginning at 5 says, but it came to pass when Ahab was dead. Ahab, who had fallen under the Jezebel spirit. And let me add a caveat here, because I hear people accusing women of having a Jezebel spirit. And when they do it, they use this kind of description of something normally, sometimes, you know, sexual or flirtatious. The Jezebel spirit, first of all, try to shut the mouth of the prophet, the true prophet, number one. It's a usurping and a controlling spirit, and it's a spirit of homicide to take that which does not belong to an individual.
Yes.
So, spineless, jellyback Ahab is dead. So the king of, well, that's what he was. I'm sorry.
Yes, you're right.
Because you allowed Jezebel, the daughter of Esbaal, king of the Zidonians, who was the leader over Tyre and Sidon, you allow her now to inveigle you, to introduce Baal worship into the nation of Israel and cause the true prophets of God to begin to be scattered. You should have some backbone and discernment, glory to God, that anybody that comes to try to turn you away from God, that you give them a bill of divorcement. Give them a pink slip.
They'll
get over it. 2 Kings chapter 5, Ahab is dead. In other words, he which had allowed the seducing spirit now to shut the mouth, that wants to shut the mouth of the prophet to come into the nation now, to build up groves unto Baal. The king of Moab rebels now against the king of Israel. Watch this now, 2 Kings chapter 3, beginning at 6. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. This simply means, beloved, he began to trust in his own strength. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. But we shall trust in the name of the Lord our God. He begins to number Israel. But he goes now, verse 7, and sends for Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. I love this. People can be under attack. They can begin to look at their numbers. But at some point, they're going to contact somebody who knows how to get a praise to.
Yes,
because Judah means praise. So he says to Jehoshaphat, beloved, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Now watch this. Don't miss this now. Will thou go with me against Moab to battle? Watch this. He asked Jehoshaphat, will thou go with me? My God. Jehoshaphat doesn't say, I'm going to go with you. Jehoshaphat says, I will go up. Because Judah means praise, and praise must go up. Because when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. Judah, praise can't be horizontal. It must be vertical, beloved. Judah has to go out. That's why we can't allow any individual anywhere to intimidate us, that we refuse to send up Judah. My God. Judah must go up. Jehoshaphat doesn't say, I'm going to go with you. Jehoshaphat says, I will go up. Watch this now. In Judges chapter 1 and 2, they had come before the Lord, asking the Lord, who shall go up first of the tribes to fight against the enemy? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered, past tense, the land into his hand. When Judah goes up, glory to God, it begins to unlock and release stuff that God has already delivered in the realm of the spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. When Judah is released into the atmosphere, the troposphere, and the stratosphere, it facilitates an atmosphere now of the release of the things that God has appointed and ordained for us. Watch this, 2 Kings 3. Beginning at 9. So the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. Watch this. And there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And the king of Israel, the same one that had trusted in his own strength and numbered Israel, listen to what he says. Alas, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Speak in defeat. Beloved, in this season, you can't keep company with people, glory to God, that are speaking doubt, that are speaking negativity, that are judging the situation according to numbers. Glory to God. Because association brings on assimilation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you begin to allow them to speak negativity and doubt into your ear, glory to God, that thing now can begin to jump off on you and cause you now to begin to be doubtful. He begins to release this word of doubt into the air. But watch what Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the king of the tribe that represents praise, listen to what Jehoshaphat said in 2 Kings 3 and 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? Beloved, in the times of trial and tribulation, I don't care if the odds before you look insurmountable. I don't care if you got more bills piled up than Clinton. Somebody hear me tonight. Don't allow people to come around and speak doubt. If you can't get to the true prophet of the Lord, get into a place of worship, get into a place of celebration and praise. The question to you tonight is this. What shall be your position and posture in the time of persecution? Will it be one of pessimism or will it be one of prayer and praise? That's alliteration.
Yes.
Jehoshaphat says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? Notice he didn't just say prophet because he got a lot of them running around, God knows.
Mm-hmm.
That we may inquire of the Lord by him. Watch this now. And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Watch this now. The Shunammite woman told her husband that he was a holy man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Now, the servant of the king of Israel doesn't say, well, the master prophet Elisha is here. The great wonder is here. This great, great preacher is here. No, he simply says, beloved, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
A servant's heart. A servant man of God that served the great prophet Elijah and was anointed with a double portion. Watch this, Minister Tiana, because we always talk about we want a double portion, we want a double portion. What double portion did Elisha receive from his father, Elijah? A double portion of his spirit.
Yes.
And when you search the scriptures, he did twice as many miracles. Why? Double portion of the spirit. Why? Because now he has a double portion of the spirit from whence he shall prophesy.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because the spirit of prophecy comes from the spirit of God. Listen to what Jehoshaphat said in verse 12, beloved. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's with him because the spirit of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Israel and the king of Edom went down to him.
Mm-hmm.
They went down to him. 2 Kings 3, beginning at 14, when Elijah sees them, Elijah says, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to honor them because Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, is there. Listen to this, beloved. Let me reiterate. The testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is the key that activates and facilitates that spirit of prophecy. Glory to God. Watch this now. Saul met a company of prophets coming from the high place. Psaltery, Street, timbrel, tabaret, pipe, and harp. They began to prophesy, and the Spirit came upon him, and he prophesied. The Spirit was taken from Moses and put on the 70 elders, and they prophesied without ceasing. You see, because when the true prophet comes before you, they ain't got to ask you 1,000 questions. Are you married? Trying to feel you out. Do you have children? You know, you don't have to do that. Is there a word from the Lord? Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. Watch this, beloved. Elisha now, glory to God, is there, and he sees Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. So because of Jehoshaphat now, Elisha decides now that he's going to honor the requests of the king. In verse 16, 2 Kings 3 and 15, watch this, and this is the crux. It's the pièce de résistance. It's the creme de la creme of this message. Listen, somebody. Elisha does not open his mouth and just begin to prophesy. Glory to God. The first thing Elisha does is he says, but now bring me a minstrel. Bring me someone that can play the song of the Lord. Bring me someone now that can play on the instrument. And if there be any musicians, any worship leaders listening on the line, you're not in service, glory to God, to impress people. Glory to God with voice tone and how well you play your instruments. You're there to worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness, to take the congregation to the high place, glory to God, through worship, through praise, through adoration, that the glory of God can come down and the spirit of prophecy can break out in the congregation. Look in the book of Chronicles at the dedication of the temple standing for the place where God would make his habitation. The Bible says that the priests that were arrayed, that were present, 120 of them arrayed in their white linen, lifted up their voices with a trumpet, with one voice, glory to God. And as they began to praise God in the beauty of holiness, what happened? The priest couldn't stand to minister because the glory of the Lord filled the house. Worship, they were worshiping the Lord. And the glory came and the prophetic voice came and Solomon was able to speak to the people. Elisha, although he had a double portion of Elijah's spirit, he didn't just open up his mouth. He didn't prophesy from his spirit. He didn't prophesy from his intellect, his will, his emotion, or from his heart. He said, but now bring me a minstrel. That's why the anointing of the minstrel is so important. And it says, and it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, on Elisha. And Elisha begins to give specific instruction concerning these enemies that had come against the king of Israel. It happened when the minstrel began to play. Let me give you my final scripture before I wrap it up. 2 Chronicles, beginning at chapter 20. Actually, it started at 1. 2 Chronicles, beginning at 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So a three-nation confederation comes against Judah, because the enemy always wants to shut down Judah, because Judah facilitates and precipitates our place in worship. So if the enemy can stop Judah, then he'll stop us from crossing over now into that next dimension, which is worship. Hear me tonight, beloved, as I come home. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in En-Gedi. Watch this now. So they get news, like some of us have received news, that a great multitude of debt has come against us. A great multitude has come against our marriage. A great multitude has come against our church. A great multitude has come against our ministry, our finances, our children, glory to God, our businesses. And Jehoshaphat feared, reverenced, and set himself to seek the Lord. He didn't go seeking the roots doctor. He didn't go after a witch and a warlock. He didn't go after a palm reader, a reader of the Ouija board, or a tarot card reader.
Yes.
He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah to afflict the flesh. Watch this. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And Jehoshaphat begins to pray. I'm not going to read the prayer. You can read it in your old time, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat stands there now, and he begins now to pray the prayer of intercession. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20 and 13, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There are times when you got to gather your family member. You got to gather your congregation, glory to God. You got to gather your employees, and you got to get before the Lord and begin to worship.
Yes.
So they're standing before the Lord, Providence Tiana, and those joining us tonight. And verse 14 says, watch this now, 2 Chronicles 20 and 14. Out of the plethora of individuals, out of the multitude, out of the congregation of Judah, who are fasting, who gets a word from the Lord? Verse 14, fasten your eyes, I'm coming in. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst. Oh, there it is. I heard somebody just got it. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation.
Yeah.
Why is Jehaziel so important? He's a descendant of Asaph. Asaph is the individual who David had, one of the individuals that David had put in charge of temple worship. My God, I feel you.
Wow.
Jehaziel is a worshiper, a worship leader in the congregation. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him now in the midst of the congregation, and he says, hearken ye all Judah. He begins to speak the word of the Lord now, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed, because in this season and past season, the enemy tries to send a blitzkrieg against us, and if we're walking by sight and not by faith, we will become fearful and dismayed. But I come to reiterate that I don't care how insurmountable the odds look. Glory to God. We love to quote that scripture, one shall chase 1,000 and two shall put 10,000 to flight. But when the Holy Ghost came, he said, behold, I have all power. And he says, he that dwelleth in me, he that dwelleth in you is greater than he that dwelleth in the world. The Spirit of God on the inside of you don't allow you to just chase 10,000 or 1,000. It gives you authority over realms, glory to God, over nations.
Mm-hmm.
Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. The Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody tonight.
Yes.
Because a multitude of bad news has been hitting you like a fuselage, a barrage of bullets. To try to, a blitzkrieg to try to get you to become dismayed. And some of you now have shut yourself away in a place of depression, oppression, and melancholy. But tonight, under apostolic and prophetic unction, I decree and declare, glory to God, that every tormenting spirit, every spirit of oppression, every spirit of depression, every spirit of melancholy, every spirit of suicide, in the name of Jesus, every spirit that's come that's not like the Holy Spirit, I decree and declare that they must be dislodged. They must move. There must be deliverance in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There must be a turnaround. There must be transformation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There must be elevation. There must be restoration. And there must be restitution.
Yes.
Glory to God. Let me give somebody a second to get a praise on.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus.
I'm going to give somebody a couple of seconds to get a hallelujah out.
Ooh, Jesus.
I'm going to give somebody a chance to get a glory to God out.
Yes, God.
Somebody has been mired under a mountain of debt. Mm-hmm. And God said, as a result of this word, you're getting ready to go into a quiet place, and you're going to worship me, and I'm going to begin to dissipate your debt and increase your resources.
Yes, Lord.
Someone came on this line tonight dealing with a serious ailment, infirmity, sickness, and disease. God says, out of that place of worship, glory to God, I shall visit you with the balm of Gilead. There are individuals on this line whose marriages are on the rocks, and God said there's a prophetic voice in you that instead of a prophetic word and a word of pity, I'm getting ready to cause you to worship now, to prophesy over your spouse, and to prophesy life into your marriage. Someone has family members sitting in Dalesville. Might be a husband, might be a wife, it might be children or grandchildren. You're getting ready to prophesy to that situation. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude.
Yes.
For the battle is not yours, but God.
Yes, Lord.
Because if tomorrow go ye down against them, he's given them the exact location, the reconnaissance of the enemy. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, God is saying you're not going to use conventional weapons. You're not going to use soulless tactics to win this battle. Set yourselves, stand still. In other words, don't be running around like a headless chicken popping pills. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord will be with you. Watch this, beloved. Jehoshaphat gets the word now from Jehaziel, who gets it from the Spirit of God. What is Jehoshaphat's posture, prophetess Tiana and company? Verse 18 of 2 Chronicles 20. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord.
Ah, Jesus.
Your worship going in and your worship coming out.
Coming out. Mm-hmm.
And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up just like they did in Solomon's days to praise the Lord. Watch this. Don't miss this, beloved. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel. They wasn't just sitting back like some of these great preachers do when they come to preach. They sit back. They don't worship while the congregation is worshiping. They sit back, cutting their tent, waiting for their time to get the mic while the rest of us are worshiping. And then when they get the mic now, come on and praise him. Come on and magnify him. Excuse me, Mr. or Mrs. Great Preacher. What do you think we've been doing for the last 45 minutes? We've been worshiping while you've been sitting there.
Hmm. That's right.
Glory to God. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice. These are for the people that say don't take all that. For the ones that say, oh, it don't take. Well, if you had our testimony, baby, you'd have our praise.
Mm-hmm.
They stand up with a loud voice, the Bible says, on high, and they began to praise. Watch this, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had consulted with the people, watch this. He doesn't appoint swordsmen. He doesn't appoint archers with bow and arrows. He doesn't appoint people now who have prowess with daggers. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20 and 21 that he appointed singers unto the Lord. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
He appointed worshipers. He appointed minstrels who could play the song of the Lord and that should praise the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah.
Yes.
As they went out before the army, glory to God, and to say, Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And that's what I want to say, God, for each and every person under the sound of my voice. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I praise you in the beauty of holiness tonight on this Holy Ghost radio show. I praise you for the one God that's in a place of the Spirit, that's finding it difficult to praise you. I praise you for the one that's losing hope and faith, God, in the name of Jesus. I praise you, Lord, for the one whose marriage is on the rocks, the one who's been given a diagnosis and a prognosis that does not look conducive to good health.
Yes.
I praise you for the one that's at the point of eviction, in the name of Jesus. I praise you for the one that's contemplating suicide, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I praise you for the one that's dealing with church hurt. I praise you for the one that's been held down in the name of Jesus, where men have taken their goodness in the ministry and returned evil unto them. I praise you for the one, God, whose wool has been sheared, God, who have not been built up and edified, but hoodwinked through seducing prophetic spirits. I praise you for the one God who's on the verge of thorning in the towel. The Bible says, beloved, that as they went before the army and began to praise the Lord, for his mercy endured forever. The Bible says, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Bible said that the Lord set an ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, glory to God, which will come against Judah, and they were smitten. Hallelujah. And God said tonight, even before you go to your bed, find a place in worship to worship me in the beauty of holiness and to praise me because my mercy endures forever. God says, I'm getting ready to set an ambushment against the enemy of your health, the enemy of your against your marriage, the enemy that's come against your ministry, your money, glory to God, the enemy that's come against your family, your children and your children's children, the enemy that has come against, hallelujah, the thing that God has given you to do, the vision of God. The Bible says, now watch this. In the Psalm, David says, Thou Holy One of Israel, Thou that inhabitest the praises of thy people Israel.
Yes.
That word inhabitest means one who sits as a judge, one who sits like a crouching lion. Where is he sitting, beloved? He's sitting in our praises. Watch this, as a lion. And as we begin to bring the praise and the worship forth, the lion of the tribe of Judah now, that judge now begins to pronounce judgment. He begins to set an ambushment against our enemies. Why do you think they call him the Lion of the Tribe of Judah?
Yeah.
Why didn't they call him the Lion of the Tribe of Issachar, Benjamin, Ephraim, Manasseh, Zebulun, or Naphtali? There's a reason why they call him the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, because Judah means praise, and when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Glory to God. The Bible says in verse 23, For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. They didn't have to shoot an arrow. They didn't have to lift a sword. They didn't have to throw a dagger. That's what it meant, stand still. You're not going to have to fight in this battle. In other words, what you're going to do, you're going to use praise and worship as a weapon.
Yes.
That's going to facilitate a prophetic voice. That's going to tell you now where the enemy is coming from. Glory to God, the root of the thing. It's going to identify the individual that infiltrated the ministry, the wolf masquerading in sheep's clothing, who do not want to submit themselves to the prophetic and the apostolic authority. Glory to God. They saw bodies all over the place. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. God says, out of this night, glory to God, I'm taking you prophetically to a place of overflow increase, not just a place of just enough, but a place of more than enough, more than they could carry away, prophetess Tiana. And they were what? Watch this now. They were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. There goes that number three again. On the third day, Esther put on her royal apparel and went into the inner court where the king was. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw Mount Moriah, the place where he would be called upon to make his greatest sacrifice. Jesus took 3 disciples with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, John. And when they got up there, they saw 3 glorified bodies, Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. And God say, you are a third-day believer, and this is a third apostolic revelation. And God says, in this prophetic hour, you're getting ready to capture the spoil, because I've set an ambushment against your enemies.
Ah, Jesus.
After 3 days, woman of God, came the 4th day.
Yes.
What did they do? Did they forget about God and go build bigger barns? Did they go multiply materialism that kept them now from doing what God called them to do? Remember I said worship going in and worship coming out, beloved. In this season, whatever you got to face, you got to go in with worship and you got to come out with worship, beloved. Hear me tonight. Worship going in and worship coming out. So they were 3 days in recovering the spoils. Look at their posture and their position on the 4th day. The Bible says, beloved, 2 Chronicles 20:26, and on the 4th day, they assembled themselves together in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. That word Berakah there is where we get the word Barak. For those ignoramuses, though, that don't understand the name, Barak means to bless. That's why in Psalm 34, David says, I will Barak, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's what it means.
Yes.
And on the 4th day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barak, the valley of blessings. For there they bless the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Berakah, or Barak, unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. Prophetess Diana, I'm speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost now by the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit of prophecy that is on the inside of me through the resurrection power of the great prophet and the great apostle, the master, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And I'm prophesying now that coming out of this night, glory to God, the people of God under the sound of my voice who will hear and activate this word, because some of you on this line have been murmuring and you've been complaining. You've had your eyes on your husband, your eyes been on your wife, your eyes been on other people, and you've been complaining and murmuring, not realizing that it's not about that individual. It's about the individual in the mirror. Stop complaining and stop worshiping. So God can send you a prophetic word, and he can set an ambushment against the enemy. That's come against the marriage, Come against the ministry. Come against the family. Come against your business. They blessed the Lord. Then they returned, all of them, with Jehoshaphat in the front with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies.
Yeah.
Watch this now, beloved. And they came to Jerusalem, verse 28. Jerusalem means place of peace or foundation of peace. See, this is why God wants to subdue these enemies that has come against us, so we can get to a place of peace and get to a foundation of peace. They're coming to Jerusalem, prophetess Tiana. Hear this.
Mm-hmm.
What's in their hands? They're coming with psalteries. They're coming with harps. They're coming with trumpets unto the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
When Saul was coming down from the high place of Samuel, remember I said it? And he met the company of prophets. What was before them? These same instruments. But now the thing is, the house of the Lord is not that decorated building that we like to go to, that we've enshrined. No, we are the house of the Lord. And
yeah.
Inside of us are the trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
Inside of us is the psaltery and the harp. That's why Psalm 47 was to clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Sound the voice of the trumpet. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And I want to say to somebody tonight before Prophetess Tiana comes in, some of you have not been sleeping properly. Some of you have been restless and tormented because of the opposition, because so-called deadlines are coming up against you. But God says, I give my beloved rest. God says, I'm getting ready to throw you a lifeline coming out of this place. But the key now to activating what many of you, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, many of you are going to contact the woman of God and testify concerning debt elimination, financial increase, healings, deliverance, breakthroughs as a result of this night. I didn't get the portion that God gave me out of no Cracker Jack box.
Yes, Lord.
I thought it was God. I was in a prison cell in England, 23 hours a day lockdown, glory to God, in a toilet without a cell, given an eight-year sentence and sent next to a pig farm while facing 25 years. And Jesus supernaturally came into the cell, no choir singing, no preacher preaching, came in and brought deliverance and told me, I'm going to send you forth. I'm going to shoot you out like an arrow, a flamethrower, and you shall prophesy the word of the Lord, not for lucre. You ain't going to run on titles. You ain't going to separate yourself from the people, but you shall minister under the unction, apostolic and prophetic, a true anointing. And God says, I will bring it to pass. And tonight on this line, I prophesy over you, Prophetess Tiana, and over each and every soul that have taken the opportunity to join us tonight. I prophesy life. I speak to the wind that cometh from the four wind, the pneuma, and the ruach hakodesh breath that Ezekiel prophesied to. And I ask you now, Lord, to begin to let the winds of change begin to blow, that even on the dry areas of our lives, from the greatest to the smallest, God, I decree and declare that the winds of change are blowing in the name of Jesus. Glory to God that weeping has had its day, because weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And just like Jehoshaphat and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Judah, like they came back with joy, God says, coming out of this night, I'm restoring joy. I'm taking you to another dimension in peace. Glory to God, another dimension in favor, and another dimension in my glory, saith the Lord. Minister Tiana, the floor is yours.
Yes. Y'all, this has been awesome. We have 20 minutes. I have one person already want to talk to you, Apostle, but if you guys need prayer or anything, you have to press the number one. So, Apostle, this person has been waiting on for a while, so I'm going to bring them in and I don't know if they want prayer or a comment, but I'm going to go ahead and bring them in now.
Praise the Lord.
Area code 904.
Hi, how are you?
Fine,
Bless the Lord, my sister. How are you?
Good. I have a question. For the last few days, I've been like, I don't know what it is, but like, and when I'm in a certain setting, I'll look up and I see like probably something that looks like it's sparkling, like in the air, and at first I thought it was like, okay, it's just glitter around me. But I'm starting to see it a lot often, and my God aunt told me that it, I think she says God's trying to bring me to the spirit realm, but I don't know how to, like, I don't know how to approach it. I don't know, like, what to do about it.
So you're seeing something protruding out of the where?
Yeah, in the air, like, I thought it was a guardian angel at first, and it might still be that, but I've been seeing it for a while now. It's hard to explain. It's like something just appeared out of nowhere. Like, I see, like, kind of a glitter or a flash around me, and nobody else can see it but me.
Well, I know in the scripture for sure there's precedence when God was about to deal with Saul, and he was put down on the earth. He saw a bright light around him, and he heard a voice speaking that nobody else heard. But what you need to do, you need to begin to worship and pray to the Lord, and the Father of lights, glory to God, who gives all gifts, will begin to discern and tell you exactly what it is and what you need to do. And what you must understand is a place of worship. You need to get into a place of worship, into a place of celebration before the Lord, and just begin to seek the Lord specifically for that situation and ask God to begin to give you clarity, to begin to give you wisdom, and to begin to give you understanding of what is happening, whether it be of God or whether it not be of God. Because the Bible says, marvel not, for even Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light, and so are his ministers. So in this particular hour and season, we understand that all that glitters is not gold. So we must be discerning in this season. And when you get before the Lord and begin to worship him and seek him, God will begin to give you clarity and understanding concerning that things which you're about, which you are seeing.
Okay. Amen.
All right. Thank you
Amen.
So much.
Bless you, my sister. Bless you. Bless you. Thank you for joining us.
Amen. Yep. All right, Apostle. We got three more coming on. Bring them on in.
The man of God is ready. Bring him in.
Area code 904. Hello,
Erico 904. Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Bless you.
Good, good. I have a question and a prayer request. But the question is, if you know God has called you into the prophetic, do you go through? Well, let me tell you. Do you have to have man's confirmation if God's giving you the go ahead, or do you?
Let me say this quickly, brother. Let me say this quickly, brother.
Okay.
The prophetic comes from God.
Right.
The fivefold ministry gift is not given by man. It's given by God. That's what we have to understand first and foremost. So if there's a prophetic gifting in you or you are called to the office of a prophet, it is God that called you. Now, in saying that, I will say this. Glory to God. Now, individuals around you, whether they be your leader or other leaders now, will be able to see now and affirm that gifting that is upon you. But you don't need to be, that gift cannot be validated by man, because man cannot give or validate that gift. All man can do is affirm and says, yes, truly, this is the gift of God that's in us. And basically what's supposed to happen is in the fivefold ministry is, an individual like you now that feels that they have a prophetic anointing on them, glory to God, that anointing is supposed to be nurtured now, because Elisha adopted the school of the prophets from Elijah, a company of prophets now whom he tutored and traveled with and instructed. But a lot of times now people want to control people and sometimes stifle that prophetic gift. So the first thing you need to do is set aside a time for fasting and prayer to get before the Lord, and a time of worship, and ask the Lord now to begin to surround you with individuals now that will affirm and help to build up that prophetic gift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great, great. And a prayer request that I'm taking my business in a new direction, and I'm just asking God to just lead me in the direction I'm going.
Well, the first thing you want to do is change the language how you're saying it. You don't want to take business in a new direction. You want God to take the business in the direction that he wants it to go. Because words are important, man of God. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and we shall have what we say. So now that's what I'm going to pray for. What's your name, my brother?
Terrence.
Terrence?
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for the unction that you've unctionized your servant, your son, the prophet with God, to come forth with this most important question. And first and foremost, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would nurture, you would cultivate, and you would affirm the gifting that you have placed upon him from before the foundation of the world, and let it be evident to those in and around him. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. And right now, God, we lift up the business that you have given him, that you have birthed out of his loins. And, Father, we pray that you would take it in a direction that is profitable, God, in the name of Jesus, a direction of overflow and a direction of increase. Father, breathe upon this business tonight and let it be so profitable that it can advance the kingdom, that it can be an employer, and that it can help widows and orphans, etc. In the name of Jesus, for you said we should occupy, which means to do business until you come. So, Father, we thank you now, glory to God, that you're taking this business, God, into another dimension, into another place of productivity. I call forth clients, glory to God, from the east, the west, the north, and the south, God. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare the favor of the Lord, hallelujah, from the third dimension where your glory is evident and resident, that it shall rest upon Terrence, rest upon his business. I pronounce a Deuteronomy 28 blessing over your business, over your prophetic ministry, and over your life and over your family's life, that God has given you power to get wealth, great man, that his covenant may be established. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, the Lord God, our righteousness, I decree and I declare that I say it is so. In the name of our Lord and Savior, amen.
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 God bless you.
God bless you. Okay. Area code 111, you're on the line.
Amen. Hi, Prophetess Koyama.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Yes, I have a prayer request. My prayer request is just I've been dealing with fear and just seeking God for deliverance, total deliverance from fear. So that's my request, that the Lord totally deliver me from fear so I can do what you called me to do.
Okay. You said deliverance from fear. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, my sister, bless you tonight. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for this great question. First of all, I just wanted to say God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And the spirit that's on the inside of you gives you dunamis, which is miracle work and power, and exousia, which is delegated jurisdiction and influence over the demonic realm. So you're actually asking God for prayer. Are you filled with the spirit of God?
Yes, I am.
So you're asking for a prayer for something that God has already equipped you to do. That's why the word of the Lord came forth and said the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. The dunamis power of God is on the inside of you. Glory to God. And what I want you to do is this, because a lot of times we're asking for prayer, and this is why I wanted the people of God to hear this message tonight. I mean, men ought always to pray and not to faint. But there are times when we gotta, when we finish praying, we gotta learn to prophesy now out of that place of prayer and praise, and begin to prophesy now and command the spirit of fear to move in the name of Jesus. Command the business, Terrence, to be productive and fruitful. You see, because the spirit of prophecy is on the inside of you, and as you begin to die to yourself, my sister, and begin to yield to him, he will begin to make you bold. And he will begin to increase you in that boldness. So the thing that you're asking for prayer for is laying on the inside of you. And you now, and I'll share a little testimony with you quickly. When I came out of the prison system, I was going into a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center in Corona, Queens. And I went before the Lord because I was nervous. I said, Lord, you know, what if I mess up? I was real nervous because, you know, it's going to be my first few times speaking in front of people. And the Lord said, if you go out there in your own strength, you will mess up. But if you let me go out there in you, then I will do what I have called you to do. I'll do it through you. So what I'm saying to you is this, my sister. It's not about you. Because fear sometimes is us worrying about what people are going to think about us. No, it's about the Christ in you manifesting. So when God has called you to do something, recognize it's not you. Step forward and let the Spirit of Christ begin to radiate and come forth boldly in and through you. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I receive that.
Okay, bless you.
Amen. Bless you. Area code 347, you're on the line.
Rest in peace. This is...
Prophet Anaya.
Blessings, my brother. Hallelujah.
Bless you, man of God. All the way from Mesquite, Texas, the man of God, the prophet of God, Prophet Emmanuel Anaya. What say ye tonight, prophet?
I just want the people of God to know this is Apostle Donaldson is the real deal.
Yes,
and
he is.
I just want to say that and testify all the way from Dallas, Texas. You know, not a lot of men that I know right now, and it shouldn't be this way, but you got to love the gospel. You got to love the Lord. You got to love your family. And this man has been proven over the years, and it's great to see how God has blessed him and grew him and how he's using him today and how he's been faithful to his faith in Christ and his family. And I want everybody to know this is substance tonight.
Yes.
This is great substance tonight. This is through great warfare. This is through great suffering. And a lot of people start off, but they don't finish. You have to bear your cross. You have to fight the good fight of faith. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. You know, Jesus told us that any man will be my disciple. Let that man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus daily. And it gets hard sometimes. It gets rough. But we have to embrace suffering. If we suffer with Christ, we'll reign with him. And this apostle is really an apostle because he suffered with Christ. And there's a great anointing on his life. I want you to understand that many people have titles, but they haven't paid for it. They haven't suffered with Christ. And you can go online and you can go to school and get a degree and get a certification. But if you don't suffer with Christ, you can't have the fivefold. You can't be anointed for the fivefold. And I just want to bless God and thank God publicly on this phone, my brother, and I love him. And we get together and do the work of the Lord when we can. And I know we're going to be doing some things this year, particularly Atlanta and New York and in his home state, Florida. I look forward to that. And this man is walked by faith. I have not seen anything like this. You know, in my lifetime, someone would obey God and you know, move away from secular work to embrace the gospel in the way he has and suffer for it. Suffer for it, beloved, but not lose a house, not lose a car, you know, kids in college, still was able to maintain and be a blessing to his family. See, that is substance. That is fruit. And it's going to be a wonderful thing to see what God does in these last days in his life. And I'm glad to know and I'm glad to be a part of it. So I just want to bless you, man of God. You know,
bless you. Love you, prophet.
Amen.
Love you, man.
Amen. Okay, you guys, we got 6 minutes. But before I take the rest of these calls, I want to let you guys know, if you guys want to sow into both of our ministries, you can send it to me through my website at tcopelandministries.com. Any amount, doesn't matter, because when you send it to me, I'm going to make sure I bless this man of God, because this has been an awesome word, Apostle. We got more calls. We're going to try to take these in less than 5 minutes. Area code 954, you're on the line.
Bless the Lord, good night.
That sounds like Apostle Andra Maxwell Wilson all the way from West Miramar.
Yes, it is, Apostle Donaldson. I'm not going to stay long because I want to give the others a chance to get in, but I just want to thank God for your boldness.
Yes.
Because most people today are so afraid to speak the truth. And God said the righteous is as bold as a lion. The lion rules the jungle. And I thank God for your boldness, that you do not walk in fear nor timidity, but you will speak the word as God gives it to you, thus saith the Lord God. And I'm glad for the clarity that you brought to the body of Christ to let them know that these prophets that refuse to worship God cannot be prophesying from the Spirit of God. Because as you rightly said, that the spirit of worship facilitates the spirit of prophecy. So these people that are, think that they are so high and so mighty that they cannot sit in a service and worship God, but they want to come and prophesy to the body of Christ, I'm glad that you have educated them on tonight, that they will know how to put out these Baal worshippers and start receiving the man and woman of God that is after the heart of God. God bless you, Apostle. God bless you, Prophetess. Continue to keep up the good work and never stop walking in the boldness.
Amen.
Bless you,
God
Apostle
bless
Maxwell
you.
Wilson out of West Miramar, Florida.
Amen.
God bless you, man.
Area code 904, last digits is 1659. You're on the line.
Hello, Apostle.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Apostle. This is the Eagle calling in. This is Prophetess Brittany.
Prophetess Brittany Chapman, the prophetic eagle from Jacksonville, Florida. What say
yes.
ye, Prophetess?
Yes, I just want to thank God for you. The word was awesome. I love the way you taught it. I love the way you you broke it down where people can understand the word. I love the way you exegeted it. That was awesome, man of God. I just want to tell you I thank you, I love you, and I thank you for being my spiritual father, and I just love you.
bless that young prophet is calling from
yes.
Jacksonville, Florida, one of the SWAT team members, soldiers watching and travailing, one of the prophetic eagles. We're telling buzzards, crows, we're telling vultures to clear the runway because the eagles are ready to soar.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Area code 904, last digits 7864.
Bless you, Bald Eagle.
Bless you. That's right. That's right. Ain't no shame in my game. I'm bald and I'm an eagle. So that makes me the Bald Eagle. That sounds like Apostle Eileen Chapman out
yes.
of Jacksonville, Florida.
What a word, what a word, what a word. And man of God, this is the word for you, that the Lord said in Proverbs 11:1 that you brought forth tonight, that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a
come on.
Just weight is high, is his delight. And you have brought the delight of God's heart.
Woo.
You came with a flood of hell, and
yes.
you brought the foul ground, and you brought balance back to the kingdom and back to the heart of the people. And when balance and liberty is in the midst, here comes the blessings of God. So I thank God for you and your boldness, your integrity, your suffering. I'm telling you, your suffering has not been in vain. And there are people throughout the land who may even not even come on the phone to make a comment has been blessed and given balance and given healing and directions and wholeness. So thank you, man of God. Thank you.
Amen.
Bless you, woman of God. Bless you. Thank
God
you for the
bless.
For the encouraging words. To God be all the glory.
Yes, amen.
Man of God, so Minister Tiana, we only had 2 hours. We need more time.
We got this last call, Apostle, and this is area code 954. Hello, area code 954.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Okay, well, you guys, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. His website is fideldonaldson.org. My website is tcolandministries.com. Check us out. He will be back again, so y'all keep looking for it. Man of God, I just thank you for your obedience. This was just awesome. It was awesome.
A joy to serve on the Holy Ghost radio show, woman of God. Bless you. Much love
yes.
to you and your precious mom.
Yes. So you guys, I love you guys, and tune in next time. Be blessed.
Be blessed.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time, and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, God bless. And all